some special songs. Let me start off, first of all, with a verse out of Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Cross of Jesus, I find a place to stand
and wonder at such mercy that calls me as I am.
Oh, hands that should discard me, old wounds which tell me.
Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, that verse says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven."
Thank you.
Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6. When the women came to the tomb, and the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay.
Thank you.
answer. Great job. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth along the lines of grace. And he said this in verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich."
A simple stall. Why wander poor and homeless? The King and Lord of all. Why heal a lonely beggar? Why cause the blind to see? The light of spend the night in prayer. Why suffer such betrayal? In anguish kneeling there. Why leave his mother crying? Why set Barabbas free? The spotless Lamb of heaven, given there for me. Why climb that dreadful mountain? Why suffer agony? Why give his blood a fountain spilled and broken, flowing free? When he walked the road to Calvary, gave his life so willingly, broken. Sharon died for me. It was for me he cried. For me he died. For me he shed his blood upon a tree. It was for me he came. For me his shame. For me, oh, praise his name. It was for me. To the cry there is no room. Now must lay his weary body in a cold and borrowed tomb. But the grave it would not hold him. Death lost its victory. Living now for me.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, none of us can fully appreciate the sacrifices that the Lord made. We just can't. Our minds cannot handle that. But folks, it was immense. And he truly became poor that we might be rich. And if we know Christ Jesus as our Savior, then we are rich in the things of God. We might not be rich in this world. That's okay. But we're rich in something more, much more important, much more significant, and that is in the things of God and in the things of Christ. Thank you to all of those who came and brought that special. And turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And as you're turning there, just to remind you that if you would like to help with the meals this week, if you would see Jeannie Fussell. Is Jeannie in here right now? Jeannie's back there in the corner. Okay, she'll be out in the foyer. And you see her if you'd like to help out with those meals. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to be looking at what is called the resurrection chapter. And of course, that's what we're celebrating here today. Amen? It's Resurrection Sunday. We call it Easter Sunday as well, but it's Resurrection Sunday. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul brings out to these believers the fact that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. Let's take a look here in these first four verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, unless ye have believed. So ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning and we're grateful. We're thankful to you. Thank you that you are a risen Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us, that you came to this earth and lived a sinless life and went to a cross on our behalf, on behalf of the sins of the whole world, your word says. We thank you, Lord, that you died in our place. You became a sinner in our place, though you never committed one sin. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us. We thank you, Lord, for those of us that know Christ as our Savior. We praise and thank you for what you've done. Father, we pray today that your word will go forth and speak to our hearts, draw us closer to you as children of God, as believers. May we more greatly appreciate and be thankful for what you've done for us. We also pray for those that are here without Christ. Maybe they believe in God. Maybe they believe in the things of Christ, but they've never come to know you personally. And I pray, Father, that you would work in their hearts. I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work. I pray that we'd see some folks come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, we thank you for the great memory of how you saved us, and we pray for someone here today, or maybe there's more than one that don't know Christ, and we would love to see them come to trust Christ as their Savior. So we pray now that everything that is done would exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work. I pray that you would use me, that you'd fill me, and Lord, I pray that you'd give all of us listening ears. So we thank you once again and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in these first four verses there, especially in verses 3 and 4, this is the gospel. This is a clear gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verses 5 through 11, the Apostle Paul brings forth those that were witnesses to his resurrection. So we'll read through these passages here, but we're going to focus on verses 12 through 22. But verses 5 through 11 speaks about these witnesses, those who had seen the resurrected Christ. It says in verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, and that's Peter. And then it says, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. but by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now we take a look at verse 12, and let me read that verse. It says, now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So Paul is going to bring up something that's an issue with the church here at Corinth, and they had many an issue. There were numbers of things. If you read through the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and especially 1 Corinthians, it's from chapter to chapter the Apostle Paul is dealing with issues because they were babes in Christ. They had come to know Christ, but they hadn't grown. They were spiritually immature. There was infighting, bickering, and there was all kinds of problems. But here was an issue as well. There were some of them that didn't believe that Christ had resurrected. And that's what he is addressing here in verse 12. How say there, some of you that there be no resurrection of the dead? So he says that there are some that are teaching this. Not only that believe it, but there are some of you that are teaching that there's no resurrection from the dead. You know what? There are always going to be people that are in opposition to everything. Just whatever it is. That's where many people are today. There are still people who don't believe that we ever landed on the moon. You've probably met them. And there's some people that think that the earth is still flat. Well, it is, isn't it? I mean, there's people that think crazy things. We see it now. Oh, there's nobody coming across our border illegally. There's just all kinds of things, okay? And people are going to believe what they want to believe. And maybe amongst us, maybe some of us have some weird and quirky beliefs. Well, listen, that's just what we're seeing here. There were some that were not going to believe that Christ had resurrected from the grave. So for these next seven verses, he says to them, he says, well, if you're right about this, then verses 13 to 19 would be true then. So let's read verses 13 through 19. He's saying this to those who would not believe that Christ has resurrected from the dead. And he says in verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, as some of you say, okay, I'm adding that in, he says, then is Christ not risen? Christ is not risen if you're saying there's no resurrection. And in verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Your faith is also vain, those of you that believe in Christ. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not, like you're saying. And then he says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Well, he's saying all of these would be true if what you're saying is true, that Christ is not risen from the grave. You're saying that, well, in verse 13, Christ is not risen then. That would be true if what you're saying is true. And then our preaching would be in vain that we just read in verse 14. He says also, your faith is in vain if Christ is not risen there in verse 14. He says in verse 15, we're also false witnesses because we're saying Christ has risen again, but you're saying he's not. And if you're right, we're false witnesses. And then in verse 17, you are still in your sins then, if what you're saying is true. I am still in my sins, as Paul would be saying. And then in verse 19, he says, we are of all men most miserable. Because if all we have is hope in this life, we're just nothing but a bunch of miserable men that are touting this idea that Christ has risen again from the grave. We would all just be living a lie, the Apostle Paul says. Or at best, we might just be out of step with the Lord, in the best possible scenario then. But then I like what Paul does here now in verse 20 as he sets that up. He says this, but Paul then, he just quickly silences. He says, enough with all this foolishness. And he quickly silences this foolish notion as he continues to write these following words in verse 20. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Folks, he has risen. That's what Paul says. Paul says, no, enough with such foolishness. I walked along this a little ways on your behalf, what you want to believe, but it's all foolishness because he has risen. He is the first fruits of those that have died. Like the hymn says that Spencer was playing, Christ the Lord is risen today. Sons of men and angels say, raise your joys and triumphs high. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, hallelujah. I read that verse earlier in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, and it bears repeating, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I've had a number of people through the years that I've been saved that have said, how do you know you're saved? Because I know he's saved. He lives in my heart. He's a risen Savior. His spirit bears witness with my spirit. When I read his word, he speaks to me through his word. I know he's a living Savior. I know he's risen again. What are you going to do when somebody tells you, oh, you're just making that up. You're just concocting that in your mind. Well, somebody can say that all they want, but the facts are still the facts. I'm saved. And I have Christ in my heart. And if you're saved, you know that as well. The Lord Jesus said this to the disciples in the upper room just shortly before he went to the cross. In John chapter 14 and verse 21, he says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Hasn't Christ manifested himself to you? Unless you're way off and you're saved, but you're way out of the will of God, you might not have some fellowship with the Lord. But if you have any kind of fellowship with Christ, you know he's real. And he says that he will manifest himself to us. That's what he says in his word. That's what he said to his disciples. Now in verses 21 and 22, he says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We see that it was the first man, Adam, that death came upon all men. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible says every man has sinned, but we see another man, and he's the God-man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. This other man came a resurrection, life from the dead. Life from the dead, eternal life. Romans chapter 5 and verse 19 says this, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's every one of us. So by the obedience of one, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. By the obedience of one, and when we put our trust in him, we become righteous in Christ. He gives us a righteousness that we don't have. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible says. But I want the righteousness of Christ. And if we're saved, you have that righteousness of Christ. I have that righteousness of Christ. The Bible says that Jesus gives life. Right? He gives life to every one of us. I heard of a young pastor who was asked to preach a funeral. He had never done one before, and he looked feverishly through the Gospels to find how Jesus, what Jesus preached at a memorial service. But he looked in vain, because the Lord Jesus never preached a memorial service. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Now, who is this life for? Well, the Bible says it's for anyone who will simply receive and trust what God has offered to them. John chapter 3 and verse 16, you could all say it together, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, what a wonderful verse that is, that we can have everlasting life. And for those of us that know Christ, we know that. The Bible says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, among whom I am chief. And it would be good for us to recognize the same thing. We're chiefest of sinners. He came to die for every one of us. Amen. I'm glad that he died for me. So first of all, we must understand that we are all under sin. Every one of us are under sin. In other words, we're all sinners. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There's none righteous. Every one of us are sinners. Anybody that has ever lived in this life except for the Lord Jesus Christ, we have all sinned. And so we are now disqualified from getting to heaven. Maybe you think, if you're here today without Christ, as I once thought. I thought growing up, and I never put a lot of thought into it, but I remember thinking a few times, that if I were to die, that I believe I'd go to heaven because I felt I was a good person. Well, listen, there are good people, human standard-wise, but there's nobody good enough to get to heaven because every one of us are sinners, and God cannot receive sin into heaven. No, so the Bible says that we've all sinned. The Bible says, as it continues to go on, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But understand this, that sin carries with it a price. The price is death. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Because of our sin, it brings forth death. I know that as a pastor. I've done multiple funerals and memorial services, and I'm reminded every time as I look at that person that has passed away, and I see that casket and that person in that casket, I realize one of these days there's going to be one done for me, and there's going to be one done for every one of us, because sin carries with it a price, and that price, that sin is that price, is death, folks. We are all doomed to die. And then the Bible speaks about a hell, that God created hell for the devil and his angels, but for anyone that will not trust Christ as their Savior. That's where we see that somebody took our place. Somebody did something and paid a price that we could not possibly pay. We were in a position of hopelessness. Without Christ, we were hopeless in this life. There's nothing that we could do about our situation. Somebody loved you and I. Somebody came and took our place, a place that we could not position ourselves. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us. He showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Bible says that Christ died for you. You may be here without him. You've never put your faith and trust in him. The Bible says over and over that Jesus died for you. And he died for me. He died for every one of us. So what does that mean? It means that God knew that we were all in a fix. You ever been in a fix? Yeah, we can think of it. I probably could get a lot of testimonies here about some fixes that we're in. I don't like being in fixes. I don't like being in places where I'm helpless. I don't like being stranded on the side of the road and I forgot my cell phone. That's a fix. That back in the day when there were no cell phones, you were really in a fix. When you were stuck on the side of a road. We've been in jams. Every one of us have been in jams. And as kids, we were in jams over and over. And who bailed us out? Our parents. They were so good to bail us out. I remember one time I was in a jam. My wife and I were babysitting our pastor's kids, pastor and his wife's kids. And the window over the sink was open, and it was getting a little cold. And she said, "Why don't you close that window?" So I go over to close that window, and I grab it, and it would not come down. Oh, I'm only in my 20s here, you know. I'm just a young guy. I mean, I was strong, so you know that window was really, really tough. And I just, all my might, and then finally it came down. Well, with it, my 8 fingers went right in between the panes, you know, right? But they were stuck. I couldn't get them out. Sharon! She's a little, Sharon! By the time she came, I'm in my 20s, so on my own, I just jumped all the way up onto the sink. I don't know how I did it. But I'm up on top of the sink when she gets there, and I'm like, ah, and pulled him out. So before she could really do anything, I yanked him out. But I was in a fix there, folks, for what seemed like an eternity. You're getting a little melodramatic, Pastor. I know. But that was true. My wife knows. My fingers got in those. That was just, I don't even like to go there. It brings tears to my eyes. Well, listen, that jam, the jam that mankind was in, was a horrible place. There was no hope. Yet God made a way. Amen? God made a way. Jesus came to take our punishment upon himself. And he died in our place. We are now on a good path. But if you're here today without Christ and you're willing to believe that Jesus did that for you, you're on a good path right now as well. So if you'll come to Christ as a sinner, the Bible says, and do as Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10 say, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the grave, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We just simply need to confess Christ. It's a gift, folks. The Bible says in verse 13 of that same chapter, in chapter 10, that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is the free gift of salvation. If you'll trust Jesus Christ, he died for you, was buried, and rose again from the grave. If you'll call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he will hear you, and he'll certainly save you. He's a living Savior. He's risen again, and he wants to give you eternal life. And folks, for those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ, may we continue to praise him from day to day of what he has done for us. Now, in just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. We heard it in song here today about how Christ died for us and how he went into the grave those 3 days and 3 nights and rose again from the grave. And he conquered death, and he promises to conquer death for those of us. In fact, for those of us who've trusted Christ, we're not going to receive eternal life one day. We have eternal life now. We have eternal life. We have the Lord dwelling inside of us, and he has saved us. Yeah, we still have to deal with this old self. It's always a problem. It'll be done away with one of these days when the Lord takes us up to heaven, and he gives us a glorified body. That's just going to be great. For now, we got to deal with that, you know, that Uncle Louie still hanging around. You know what I'm saying? He just creates issues. But folks, we are saved. And if you're here without Jesus Christ, you can be saved today. You can know that you have everlasting life. What a wonderful day that we can commemorate, that we can celebrate the Lord's resurrection, and that he gives everlasting life, folks. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads at this time, and we'll have those come. Vicky's going to come and begin to play at the piano. Brother Ray, in just a moment, is going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. If you're here without Christ, then listen, we're not here to be a high-pressure salesman. That's not what we're all about. But we do want to persuade you. We want to persuade you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. We would urge you to step out into the aisle and come up here to the front. We would have somebody show you from the Bible how you could be saved. It's the greatest thing that has ever happened to any of us that know Christ. It certainly is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me, that the Lord died for me, and now I know him. He lives in my heart. If you're here without Christ, we want to see you be saved. Now, born again, child of God, those of you that know him, you're a believer in Christ, maybe God's spoken to your heart. this is a good time maybe to come to the altar and just thank him for what he's done. Maybe he's spoken to your heart about something specific, something detailed. Then just take it to the Lord and talk to him about it. He knows what it is between you and him, between me and him. Let's just be faithful today to just be obedient to how the Lord leads us and guides us. So in just a moment as we sing this hymn, just allow the Lord to direct you and to guide you, and just be willing to be led and guided by him. Father, we thank you. We thank you today, and we're grateful for this Resurrection Sunday. We thank you, Lord, that you died on a cross for our sins, but then you rose again. And we thank you that we can sing about it. What a blessing it was to hear those songs today and for us to be able to sing about them as a congregation as well. We thank you that you're seated at the right hand of the Father and you're wanting to save anyone who will come to you. We pray, Lord, that you'll work in all of the hearts here today. We pray for those without Christ that they'll come to be saved. And for all of us that are saved, we thank you. Lord, may we just make sure our hearts are right before you as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's all take